You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
I want to talk to you real briefly this morning about our mission. We have a mission as a church. And in order for that mission to come to pass, it's going to take every single person doing their part. You know, when a military force is given a mission, that mission isn't won by one person doing their job. That mission is won by everybody doing their part. Amen. And if everybody's not doing their part, then the enemy army or the enemy force that has risen up against them will in turn defeat them. But in order for that army to be victorious in battle, in order for that army to complete their mission, in order for that army to achieve the plan that's on their heart and the things that they've set themselves to do, it takes an entire military force working together to win the victory. Well, whether you realize it or not, we are a military force as the body of Christ. We're not a violent military force, but we are a consuming military force. We're supposed to seek the whole entire world and present them with the gospel of Jesus Christ so anyone who believes can be saved. And we all have a part in that, amen? And so I want to, through the help of the Holy Spirit, communicate some things to you this morning about our mission. Over in Deuteronomy 6, 5, it says, love your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Matthew 12, 29, and 31, out of the Barron Study Bible, says, Jesus replied, this is the most important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Verse 30, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, with all of your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Y'all just stick with me. We got to rush this morning, all right? We don't have a couple weeks to do a series, so we're going to cram it all into one day. Lucky for you, I can talk fast. My question is, can you listen fast? Amen. Because my New York, Colorado, Oklahoma, Alabama accent, I can get going. Amen. And you'll be wondering, is he from the north or the south or the Midwest? You just don't know. Amen. But just stick with me. Glory to God, because we got a lot to cover, okay? Y'all ready? Oh, y'all ready? Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Matthew 22, 37, 40. It says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So we're seeing that we've been given instructions to do two things with our lives. And I really believe this. There is nothing greater you can do with your life than to love God and serve others. And the reason why I believe that there's nothing greater you can do with your life is because I believe your life matters. And I believe your life is supposed to make a difference in the world that you live before you slip on over into eternity. And the only way you can make a true difference is to love God and serve others. To do what these two scriptures say, love God and love others. And I believe that the two of these coexist together. You cannot serve others unless you love God. And if you don't really serve others, then you don't love God. I believe you have to be able to do two. You have to love God to serve others. And I believe serving others proves that you love God. Isn't that what the scriptures say? It says that the world will know that you are my disciples by what? By your love for one another. Amen. So when you're not willing to serve somebody, when you're not willing to help somebody, then the world looks at you and says, do you even love God? And I feel like sometimes they look at us, the church, and they say, man, they're just fighting amongst themselves. They don't really love God. And you know what? They are scripturally accurate. Because the Bible says that we will serve, this will serve as proof to the world that we are true disciples of God by loving our brothers and sisters. And so there's nothing greater you can do with your life. Everyone say, I can make a difference. Now you've got to believe that. You got to believe that Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda, they have their side of things to do, but you've also got something to do. And when you do your part, you help this place right here make a difference. And I believe we can make a difference. I believe we can make a difference in Madison. I believe we can make a difference in Alabama. I believe we can make a difference in the Southeast region of the United States. I believe we can affect the United States as a whole and in turn affect the world. Why? Because we're a great army. Amen. Amen. And it's not up to one person alone to do it, but when we all come together and do it together, we can achieve greatness. Ooh, amen. Dr. King said this, the greatest among you would be those. I love the way he said, I can't do it the way he did it, but he said, anybody can serve. And then Jesus said, the greatest among you would be those who do serve. Amen. So there's nothing we can do greater with our lives than to serve one another. Amen. Over here in Galatians 5, 13 and 14, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another. Someone say, serve. Come on, I know you've heard this before, but it's not about what we've heard, it's about what we're doing. And so we've got to take this revelation knowledge that the Holy Spirit is trying to impart to us, and then we've got to do something with it. We've got to understand that I've got something to do for the kingdom of God, and I've got to bring my supply to this place and join up with this army so we can achieve the mission that God has given us. Verse 14, for the entire law is fulfilled, keeping this one, verse 14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbors as yourself. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now let's just stop right there. Understand, in order to serve in the body of Christ, you're going to have to do what Romans 8, 14 says. And it says that the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Here's a very simple truth. Your flesh doesn't want to serve in this local body. You think the parking lot team's flesh wanted to stand outside in Alabama in the rain where it's like 40 degrees, where yesterday it was 70 degrees, and they want to stand out there in the pouring down rain? Because y'all understand, we live in Alabama, and so it don't matter if you got an umbrella or not. Because in Alabama, it's got this weird deal where it comes in sideways at you. And I don't care what umbrella you're holding, you're just standing under your umbrella, and you're like, why am I getting wet? Because you're in Alabama, and it doesn't matter. Do you think their flesh wanted to stand out there in their church clothes, in their beautiful attire, and get soaking wet to serve you? Their flesh didn't want to do that. Give me a break. But their spirit wants to do it. So we as believers, we got to get good at yielding to the Spirit, man. That's what he's saying here. Don't use your freedom to serve the flesh, but use your freedom to serve the Spirit. For when you serve at the Spirit, there is everlasting life. Let me give you proof of this real quick. I shared this at the end of last service, but it fits right here. We had somebody come to the praise and worship, or not the praise and worship room, the front room after service to meet Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda. And this individual walked into the church and they said, as soon as I met the parking lot team, I knew that you were my pastors and this was my church. Why? Because they weren't sowing under the flesh, they were sowing under the Spirit, and that seed that they were sowing was able to produce everlasting life. See, you have to understand, when you serve, even though we have natural things that we must do, you are doing something very spiritual. And this is what the devil would like to convince you of. He would like to convince you that the only one that has a spiritual role in this is the pastors. That's not true. Yes, we do natural things to serve, but we're doing a great spiritual thing. And when you sow unto the Spirit and you sow life, guess what you're going to reap? Life. Amen. Everyone say, I can do it. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, Jesus, I love this. Hallelujah. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. Amen. Now, I love it. It doesn't say do good just to the people that you like. Amen. And someone in the room can testify that if we only did good to the people we like, it would probably be our spouse, and that's like 50% of the time. Amen. Y'all don't judge. I'm hitting like 60%, so I'm beating y'all. No, I'm just kidding. But the Bible doesn't say just do good to those who you like. Just do good to those who you can tolerate. Just do good to those you get along with. No, he said do good to all.
Amen.
I'll keep going until I get more than one amen. He said do good to all. Hallelujah. Love everybody. Be kind to everyone. Be gentle to everyone. Sow gentleness and kindness and temperance and self-control. Treat everybody with dignity and respect.
Yes.
Do good to all people.
Yes.
That'd solve a whole lot of problems. Amen.
Amen.
And then I love what he says here after that. Do good to all people. Now, y'all ready? Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I think sometimes we forget about this part. We're at Walmart, you know, and we're, you know, the Lord puts it on our heart to do something nice for someone, so we do nice something for someone. We're at the grocery store, we're here, we're there. Hey, y'all know Walmart needs Jesus. Come on now, I was just there the other day. They need Jesus, praise God. Amen. And so we're supposed to do good to all people, but he said, while you're doing good to all people, don't forget to do good to those who belong to the family. So how do we do good to those who belong to the family? Guess what? Every Sunday and every Wednesday, you have an opportunity to do good to this family.
Amen.
By serving, you can help one another and you can sow good spiritual seeds into someone else's life by plugging in and doing your part. Amen. Matthew 10, 8, it says this, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those who have leprosy, cast out demons. Give as freely as you received. You've been given some freedom. Amen. And Jesus did some things to set you free.
Yes, yes.
He set me free in my life, but he said, don't use all that freedom for yourself. Use that freedom to bless others as freely as you've received. Guess what? You didn't pay anything to receive this freedom. Instead, somebody paid something for you so you could be free. And then he said, use that freedom. The same measure you've been given, give it unto others. Now listen to me, this is important. You may never lay your hands on the sick and watch them recover. Y'all stay with me. You may never pray with somebody with leprosy and watch them immediately be healed. You may never raise the dead back unto life. But as you serve, you're building an atmosphere in this room for those very things to happen. As you serve as ushers and praise and worship and sound technicians and serve in the children's ministry and just all the departments we have, you are building and you don't think I'm telling you the truth. Go read the Bible. And you watch the disciples as they serve Jesus. And it always started with somebody serving. And as somebody served, they built this atmosphere. You remember when he turned the water into wine? He told the disciples, he said, there's a bunch of water pots over there. Go fill them up. And the disciples are like, word, okay. But I think we look at that and we read that scripture and we forget the measure of work that they had to do to make that happen. Because there wasn't any running water, you know what I mean? They're not going to their next door neighbors asking for some Aquafina. What are they doing? They're going to the city well to get some water. And most of the times, if you read it, the well was outside of the town. I don't know if it was in this particular situation or not. And then he told them, you know, fill it up. And I think if you do the math, it was like 120 gallons. Just imagine walking out of Kroger. Kroger. Never let it go. Kroger's. Give me a break. Like you went to two stores. But just imagine it. Read the sign, people. It's on the building. Hallelujah. You know. And so anyways, Kroger. But well, that's neither here nor there. But just imagine going to Kroger and leaving with 120 gallons of milk. Imagine trying to carry all that. See, so there's a lot of work that has to be done to produce this environment for miracles, to change the atmosphere. Amen. And it's a spiritual work because you can't do it in the flesh. As an usher, you can't guide someone to their seat that doesn't want to be led to their seat. You can't do that in the flesh. It's a spiritual work. Let the peace of God pass through me. Amen. Everyone say spiritual work. And so as they're serving, and great things are happening. As you serve, you produce this atmosphere where the sick can be healed. Where the dead can be raised to life. And I'm not talking about someone that's physically dead. When we create this atmosphere and someone receives Jesus, that is someone transferring from death unto life. And that's the most important thing you could ever do. And when you serve, you are doing that. Amen. Everyone say, I'm important. For in him, I love this, verse 16. For in him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Now we call all the ministries in the church, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's cleaning, whether it's bookstore, whether it's youth. What do we call that? We call that supportive ministry. And so right here in the scripture, he says that the body is held together by every supporting ligament. Imagine if the ligaments in your knees stop working. Imagine if the ligaments, I know a couple people, I know GW is one of them, he tore his Achilles and the tendons in there. When those tendons were ripped, his foot wouldn't work properly. See, the tendons are just important. And we look at the different parts of the body, we say that part's more important. No, the tendons are important because they hold it together. As you're serving in the parking lot, you're helping the body stay together. As you serve on the usher team, you're helping the body stay together. As you serve in production, you're helping the part stay together. And then I love this. And what happens when we do that? It says that it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its special work. Amen. Y'all see what that said? As each part. Everyone say each part. And so you have a very special, unique work that you can do. And guess what? I can't do your work. And you can't do my work. Because we're unique and special, and God crafted us and made every single one of us. And when he made us, he put this special gift in on the inside of us. He put this special call on the inside of us. And the only one that can bring that gift in out, the only one that can bring that call out is you. And as you do it, you bring a supply of the Spirit to this place where people can be set free and things can change. Amen. If you would, go with me over to Exodus chapter 17. Where's Codo? Codo in Spanish means elbow. Where's the elbow? Come on, Codo. That's funny to me. Go to Exodus 17. So when we went to Ecuador, we called him La Codo, which means the elbow. Oh, El Codo. My Spanish is on fleek. All right, so Exodus chapter 17. And we're going to read this, and Cody's going to stand behind me, and he's going to hold this up. Now, Cody, you know, this is going to be easy for him to do because he's all about that CrossFit life and running and exercising. I'm about Xbox and pizza, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I picked him because he's stronger than me. And so while he's doing this, let's have let's have Miss Cheryl and Miss Kimberly. Would you all come? Oh, okay, yeah, okay. We'll just have the beautiful couple come down. Richard, would you join your wife up here? Amen. And y'all stand behind him just for the time being until we read this. All right, so everybody at Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, it says this: while the people of Israel were still at that place, right there, doesn't matter if you know what it's called, it says the warriors of Amalek came to fight against them. Moses commanded Joshua, he said, call the Israelites to arms and fight against the army of Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Verse 10. So Joshua did what Moses commanded, and he led the men out to fight the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff with his hands, the Israelites had an advantage. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites gained the upper hand. Moses' arms finally became too tired to hold up the staff any longer. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of him, holding up his hands until sunset. As a result, Joshua and his troops were able to crush the army of Amalek. So let me explain to you what's happening. Richard, if you grab that stool right there by the base, basically Moses got this plan from God. And he said, we've got this army that's trying to encroach itself on our territory. But God's given me this plan. As long as I hold this staff over my head, we are going to defeat the enemy that set itself against us. Guess what? As the body of Christ, there's an enemy that has set itself against us. But don't worry, because God has downloaded a plan into our pastors. And he told the pastors, as long as you do this, the enemy's not going to gain territory over you, but instead, you're going to take territory from the enemy. Amen. And so in order for the scripture to be true, this is what happened. They walked up to him, they set him down on the stone, and then each of them grabbed their arms on their respected sides and helped him hold the staff. This is exactly what happens when we serve in the body. We come up beside our leaders and we say, guess what? You don't have to carry. If you go over to Exodus and you read where Jethro's given Moses some advice, because Moses is standing before the people all day long. Now, I think this was a church of like a billion people. And the Bible says that he would sit up from sunrise to sunset and listen to them complain. What a job description. Could you imagine from sunrise to sunset, you're just listening to people complain, and they complain about their wife, and you go and seek God, and then you come back and give them the answer, and then the next person comes and says, my job of getting water is too hard, and they complain about it, and you go and seek God and come back. That's what he was doing all day long. And so Jethro, his father-in-law, comes to him and says, I've got a bit of advice, man. And listen to this is important. He says, if you keep doing this, you're going to wear yourself out and the people too. There was a pastor up in Tennessee, had a really large church about 2 or 3 years ago. And then on a Sunday morning, he got up in front of that church and he said, I'm done. I quit. And then when they asked him about it, they said, why are you quitting? He said, because I'm tired and I'm alone. See, Jethro knew, Moses, if you keep doing this by yourself, it's going to wear you out. And when the people don't have any leadership, the devil's going to wear them out. And so you need to find some people who can help you and give them assignments. Put them in charge of the ushers. Put them in charge of the parking lot. Put them in charge of sound. Find some people who can help you and put them in their place. And as they're in their place, then you'll be able to hold up this plan. Amen. Now, let me show you. This is important. Before they can help, they've got to get in their place. Now, what happens lots of times in the body of Christ is we find our place, but you go back to Galatians 6. It says, do not become weary in well-doing. See, as you serve in the body, you're doing some good things. Amen. And so let's just pretend that Richard becomes weary in well-doing. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to abandon my post. And so he steps off and abandons his post. Now, all of a sudden, where there was three, there's only two. And what has to happen is now Cheryl has to reach over and begin to do what Richard was doing. And since she's doing her part and his part, before too long, guess what's going to happen? She's going to become weary in well-doing. And when she becomes weary and well-doing, and she can't go on anymore because she's doing the task of two instead of the task of one, what happens? She steps back, and now Cody, the leader, is by himself once again. And it becomes very difficult. This is a principle that the scriptures teach us. It says in the Old Testament, it says, "Woe to a man who is alone. For one can be attacked and overtaken. But when two stand back to back and fight, not only do they get a greater return for their labor, but it says they can stand back to back and fight and they will conquer." And then it proceeds to tell us if two is better, then three is much better. For a three-braided cord is not easily broken. Listen, the devil will come. He'll attack this plan. He'll attack this place. He may even attack your brothers and sisters. But when we're standing together and the ligaments are together and we're connected and we're holding each other in place, it doesn't matter what he throws at us because we are there connected and we can conquer. Amen. And he cannot break us or break this place. Thank you guys very much. Y'all give him a round of applause. They did good. Glory to God. Now I want to read this one last scripture to you guys. It's kind of, we'll just praise God. Everyone say, "I'm important." Hallelujah. I also want to point this out. When Richard and Cheryl came to help Cody, they didn't come to replace Cody. They came to help him. Over here in this scripture, hallelujah, let's go Romans. I like the way it reads. Out of the New Living Translation in my Bible. I found this Bible a long time ago, and I haven't found a Bible that quite reads this way. This is Robert's special version that the Lord penned just for him. Romans chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 13. Verse 3. "As God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves." Now remember what I just said. They didn't come to replace him. They came to help him. So before you can really be effective, you have to be honest in evaluating yourself. And you have to know what God has called you to do. Amen. And you have to know where he's plugged you in to be the most help, to benefit others, to encourage others, to strengthen the body, to help carry the plant. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so it says, "Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring by the value of how much faith God has given you. Just as your bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's bodies. We're all parts of his one body, and each of us has a different work to do. And since we're all one body of Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs the other." Amen. Everyone say, "I have a special work to do." You have a special work to do. I love it over in Exodus chapter 31. It talks about how God was giving Moses some instructions to build all these wonderful things. And he says, you know, build with 10 cubits and set these gemstones. And he gives him this very vast, complicated plan. And then Moses begins to freak out a little bit because he doesn't know how to build this plan. And then God says, "It's okay. Look up. What I've done is I've surrounded you with all these naturally talented craftsmen to help you build the things that I've instructed you to make." See, I'm a naturally talented craftsman. I'm not here to replace, I'm here to help. Amen. And there's something inside of me that's not inside of you that will help build Cornerstone. But at the same time, there's something inside of you that's not inside of me that'll help build Cornerstone. I'm going to need a bigger amen on that one. Amen. There's something inside of you that's not inside of me that will help us build Cornerstone. Amen. You are a naturally talented craftsman. And you can build beautiful things, but you can be the most naturally talented. I say it this way. You can be the best sound person, but if you never help with sound, you're not the best of anything. Don't withhold the gift God's put inside of you, but instead bring it out so it can be a blessing to the body. Amen. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, "God has given each of us the ability to do certain..." So this is what he's talking about. He's given us each certain things that we can do well. "So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith, for God's speaking through you. If your gift is in serving others, serve them well." We're a representation of him, and so we should do it well. Amen? Hallelujah. "Serve them well. If you're a teacher, do a good job in teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, then do it. If you have money, then share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, then take that responsibility well, or take it responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, then do it gladly. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them." So what is he saying here in the book of Romans? He's saying God's put unique things on the inside of all of you. Giving you gifts and talents and abilities. And then he's saying, we need all these gifts. and all these talents and all these abilities to build the plan. Listen, Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda are wonderful pastors, and I love them with all of my heart, but they can't do this by themselves. God can't do this without them, and God can't do this without you. He needs all of us. And so what I want to encourage you to do this morning is seek your heart as to what gifts and talents God's put within you, and then put those gifts and talents to work in this body. Last week, we had a bunch of different banners on the back wall where you can get signed up and get involved. And this week, we have different banners. But it doesn't matter. The banners that are hanging up aren't the only places for you to get plugged in. We've got a whole wall out there with the neon lights on it that says, loving God, serving people. And when you go out to that iPad, you can scroll through all the different departments and everywhere we need help in church. My question to you is, are you ready to put your hands to work? Are you ready to give your spiritual supply? Remember, it's not just natural things that we do. It may look natural, but something spiritual is happening. And it's going to take all of us. I said it's going to take all of us. I said it's going to take all of us. Amen. So there's going to be leaders at these tables at the back of the room today. I want you to stop by those tables, and I want you to get plugged in. And if you are plugged in, just like the example of here, if you are plugged in, then hold your place. Don't abandon your post. We need every piece in place so we can continue to take territory from the devil that he initially stole from God. Amen. We are a victorious army, and we see victory when we release our faith, use our faith, but also when we work together. Amen. And so we have cleaning and grounds. We have ushers in parking lot. We have production teams. We have prayer groups. We have all these things. Go back there, fill out a card, give it to the leader that's over it, and then, fill out the card and then take it to one of the tables, and they've got a gift for you for signing up. I apologize if you're already signing up. You don't get a gift. Your reward is coming from heaven. Amen. But if you want to get involved today for the very first time, they've got a gift for you. What good incentive to get plugged in? Amen. But really, we don't need a natural gift. We know what we're doing is important. Amen. So go back there, visit these tables, sign up. We love you.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.